Good morning. How good it is to be together on this Celebration Sunday 2021. We'll be saying more about Celebration Sunday and our theme for the coming year, but so glad that you are able to be here among us as we gather to worship. I trust you know that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, our deep desire is always to meet you where you are and share God's love with you. A few important announcements this morning before we enter into our time of worship. A reminder that today we have our picnic at Plains Mennonite Pavilion just down Main Street following worship. And during that time, we will also pick the winners of our raffle baskets. So by all means, join us. Hamburgers and hot dogs will be provided along with beverages, and we'll count on you to bring whatever you'd like to go along with those goodies, and welcome all of you to be a part of that, and you'll have yet one more chance to buy tickets. The baskets will not be transported to the park because we've got 30 of them, but photos of the baskets will be there, and then, of course, when you win, the baskets will all be here for you to claim them. Also, a reminder that a week from today, the 26th of September, we will celebrate our annual blessing of the animals. We'll be out by the Meditation Garden Labyrinth under the big oak tree next Sunday at 12:15. Bring your furry friends, your feathered friends, your scaly friends. Anything that qualifies as your pet is most welcome, and we will bless them and celebrate God's wonderful gift to us in the creatures of our world. And just a reminder, for those of you who have young ones, children or grandchildren, since we don't at this point have Sunday school and the various programs that we normally have for our young ones, and we don't have the nursery being watched by someone, we do have the nursery open. So that if you need at some point during the worship service to wander over there so a little one can stretch or just needs to run around for a bit, the nursery is open, the lights are on, and you can also listen to the worship service from that vantage point as well. So just to keep you in the loop, I think that's all for our announcements this morning as we get started. So I'm going to invite you to join me in taking a deep breath. As we breathe in God's presence among us, a presence that is indeed real, as we hold on to that while letting go of the distractions and things that are weighing us down, and as together we anticipate God reaching out and touching each one of us as we worship. Amen.
little grammatical pet peeves, or is it just me? When people say or pronounce something incorrectly or in a way that they think makes sense or means something, but it actually doesn't mean what they think it means, one that happens to really bug me, and I don't know why, is when in a frustrated or exasperated tone, someone says, "Oh, I could care less." What you meant to say was, "I couldn't care less," meaning there's no way you could have any less concern than you already do. If you could care less, it means you care a lot. Now, I know in the grand scheme of things, this isn't really a big deal, and I know it's a pretty common mistake, but I'm starting to think that maybe when we say it, we actually really do mean it the way it comes out. You see, we are a "I couldn't care less, I don't really care" society. It's our first line of defense. It's our trump card. "I don't really care what you think. I don't really care about you. I don't really care about any of this." But if we're honest, we are actually a people who care deeply. And in fact, the more we say we don't care about something, the more I think we do. I believe that we as humans, created in God's image, are made to care. It's in our design. And when we say we don't care, it's often because it hurts too much to care. We've had our feelings hurt, or our care has gone unnoticed, unappreciated, or unreciprocated. And we'd rather pretend we never cared at all than to have our care failed or be rejected or mocked. But I want to tell you, you should care anyway. Never stop caring and show it every chance you get. We believe in a God who is first in caring, which is our theme for this morning, a God from whom we learned to love and care for others. And we live in a world desperately in need of acts and words and gestures of care. So as we gather together in this place to worship the God who cares about us, may we remember that we come together, together, in care for one another. So may we do just that, even now, as we gather together to worship in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join me as together we confess our sins by praying the prayer of confession that is printed in our bulletins. Let us pray. God, there sure is a lot to care about these days. With so much and so many to give our attention, our support, our time, our resources, and our heart to, it is easy to become overwhelmed and burned out. We confess that whether we are talking about caring for our neighbors, caring for strangers, caring for important issues, or even caring for our own physical, emotional, and spiritual health, it is often easier to simply say, "I don't care," and go about our daily lives. Caring is risky. It requires investment of time, energy, and heart, and there is always a chance that our care could be rejected or unreciprocated or unnecessary. We fear that we will give our heart and resources to someone or something, only to discover that it didn't make a difference in the slightest, and it was all a waste. Help us to learn from you, one who is always first in caring. Remind us that care invested is never wasted, but expands our hearts and allows us to grow deeper in relationship with one another and with you, making our lives richer and fuller and more like the lives you intended for us. Amen. Friends, Christ is indeed first in caring, offering freely the gifts of grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness. And when we dare to come before God and confess our sins and ask for help, we are the recipients of those gifts, day in and day out. May we accept them now, and may we live differently in this world because of them. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. Its message is clear. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And our gospel lesson today comes from the 9th chapter of Mark, beginning to read at verse 30. Jesus has just healed a young boy, and now once again he and his disciples are on the road. This is where we pick up. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another, who was the greatest? He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all, and servant of all." Then he took a little child, put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." These are God's words for us, and as always, our prayer is that God will give us wisdom beyond our own to help these words come alive in our lives today. Amen. It is time for our special message for the children, and as always, for those of you who are young at heart, and I trust all of you qualify as young at heart, I have a few things to show you. This is the time of year when we introduce our new theme for the year, a theme that will guide the programs we plan, the things we do. You'll hear us talk about it over and over again in the months ahead. Just to remind you, our theme this past year has been journeying in faith through thick and thin. And the theme before that, as we entered into our pandemic time, was strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Both really good things, themes for tough times. Well, we've got a new theme, and this time around, it's just 3 words, so hopefully easy to remember. And we're going to do some things this morning, hopefully, that will help you remember. The words are remember, seek, grow. Now, when you leave today, everyone will be handed a packet of seeds. Very appropriately, forget-me-nots. Okay, see, we're on the ball here. We're thinking about this, okay? These forget-me-nots are going to remind us, hopefully, of how important it is to remember. Now, I know a lot of us are thinking, you know what? The stuff that's gone on the last several months, I'd really rather not remember. Let's not remember masks and viruses and virtual learning and not being able to be with friends and not being able to do all those things we enjoy. But it is really important to remember the good things that have happened and the things we have learned from the tough times. Remembering helps us move forward. Second word in our theme is seek. Now I have a feeling all of you at some point in your life have played hide and seek. So you know that seeking is about looking for someone or something, and that someone or something is usually hidden, not in plain sight. And if you give up before you find what you're looking for, well, then you miss out, often on some very good stuff. Seeking is something that we want to do together. And it takes time, especially if what we're seeking is answers to hard questions or seeking to do the right thing in a tough situation. Remember, seek, grow. That fourth one, or that third one, is one of my favorites. In fact, I brought along one of my favorite mugs. It's not very fancy. In fact, it's really kind of plain, but it has on it just one word, what I call a four-letter word of faith, the word grow, and a little sprout, a green sprout. Because you see, God created us, all of us, to grow. And I'm not just talking about growing in size the way children do as they grow from one year to the next. I'm talking about growing in understanding. Growing as a result of things we learn, or new people we meet, or experiences we have along the way. The three words for this year's theme, remember, seek, grow, were inspired by a hymn that we sing here at St. John's. This is a day of new beginnings. Time to remember and move on. My hope and my prayer as you take your seeds with you today is that you will remember the things that help you do better, be better. That you will seek with us to do God's good work, remembering sometimes that requires a lot of time and effort, and that we will be ever willing to grow and learn, no matter how young or how old we are. Remember, seek, grow. Let's hold on to those three words as we pray together now, and then I'll invite you to join me in praying the Lord's Prayer as we come to the end of my prayer. Let's pray. God, you challenge us every day to remember what matters most. Not little unimportant things, but remembering to love our neighbor, remembering to share our kindness, remembering to care for one another. Help us to seek you and to seek to do what is right, what is good. And give us the courage to grow, not stay the same, but become better, more of what you want us to be. Remembering always that you help us each step of the way. All of these things we pray in Jesus' name. Remembering that he has taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. God, I pray that your word might be in the midst of mine, and that word might fall upon open ears and minds and hearts, that your word might take root within us and grow into things we cannot yet imagine. Amen. It's been quite a week, my friends. Actually, it's been quite a lot of weeks. A whole season of difficult things. We've had loss within our own community. We are weary of a pandemic that continues to trend in the wrong direction. We are divided as a people. We don't know what lies ahead or how to navigate moving towards it. I've noticed that in the midst of times heavy with grief, with unknown, with confusion, with sickness, with suffering, with upside down, topsy-turvy, uncomfortable weirdness, the temptation to get caught up in all that does not matter is strong. We're sort of just at our boiling point, and we just can't help but boil over. At other drivers on the road, for example, at Wawa employees, at some benign task that is just taking too long. I think it's a control thing. When we can't control the big stuff, we can obsessively control the small stuff, which makes it feel bigger, which tricks us into feeling like we're actually controlling the big stuff. Meanwhile, all we've done is miss the point entirely. We've given a lot of our time and attention to something that, in the grand scheme of things, is very small. And we still haven't really named or dealt with what's really at the root of it all, which is actually the big stuff, which we've now made even bigger by pretending it didn't exist. Yikes. Believe me, I get it. Speaking as someone who had to physically walk away from an altercation with the copier this week, I know what it feels like to channel all of your frustration, all of your sadness, all of your stress, all of your grief, all of your feeling utterly and hopelessly out of control into something really silly and something as unmattering as a piece of office equipment. Feeling out of control is really, really, really hard, and it shifts us, even subconsciously, into this out of touch yet tunnel visioned version of ourselves, crying out for some perspective and presence, begging to be reminded of what matters. This morning, we see the disciples in our gospel reading from Mark struggling with this very thing. They were traveling with Jesus, as they often were, and Jesus is carefully telling them some big, difficult, disturbing truths about how things are going to unfold from here. Or he's trying to, anyway. He's explaining to them that he is going to be questioned, betrayed, tortured, and crucified. It's big stuff. Now, the disciples don't really seem to hear or understand what he is saying. Perhaps they can't wrap their minds around it, and it all feels totally overwhelming and way outside of their control. So what do they do? Well, they have their own version of my copier fight. They start arguing amongst themselves, angling for status, and bickering about who among them is Jesus' favorite, the best of the best, the greatest disciple. Every time I read through this scene in Mark, I imagine Jesus driving the family minivan, trying to explain to his 12 backseat passengers about the journey they are on, while the disciples sit and poke each other, arguing about who should have gotten to sit in the front seat. At his wit's end, Jesus considers turning this whole car around due to the disciples' sheer lack of getting it. I guess we can't get too annoyed at the disciples, though. I suppose they aren't showing that they get it because what Jesus is telling them is kind of ungettable. Jesus is their rabbi. He's their beloved reverend teacher, their Messiah. He is the one they believe God has anointed to save the people. Jesus is their leader, their number one, the one they have given up everyone and everything to follow. And he is describing to them the most unbelievable, the most shameful, the most humiliating end they can imagine. He is describing a death that is so troublingly inconsistent with everything they believe and know about him. He's not describing the death of a king, but a criminal. It all matters so much, too much, that they can't even hear Jesus' words of assurance that he will rise again. It's much easier to loudly bicker and fixate on who gets to sit in the proverbial front seat. When Jesus does eventually pull the car over, he sits down with them and asks them, "So what were you fighting about while we were walking?" I'm sure the subtext there was, "Did you not hear a word that I said?" And the disciples are, of course, embarrassed and ashamed and don't really want to say anything, probably because they didn't realize Jesus had heard them. The irony is not lost. They are too busy arguing about who is Jesus' favorite that they fail to understand that Jesus is telling them he's about to die. Too busy nitpicking at the small stuff to really grasp the magnitude of the big stuff. Now, contrary to what my response might have been, Jesus doesn't shame the disciples. He doesn't shake his head disapprovingly or write them off as lost causes. Instead, he does what he always does, something unexpected to teach them. He takes a little child into his arms, turns to his disciples and says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." On the face of it, this tender gesture is so small and so simple, it's easy to miss just how radical it was. But consider this. Jesus doesn't say, "Welcome the child because it's kind and loving and generous, and people will think that you look good. It will make others think that you are the kindest, the most compassionate, the most generous." No. He says, "If you want to see what God looks like, if you want to find God's stand-in hidden here among you, if you are curious about the truest divine greatness, then welcome the child. Welcome the child, and you welcome God." He hushes the disciples' backseat bickering about who is the greatest to remind them, this little one is the greatest. This precious one is the small thing you should be caring about. It's important to remember that 2,000 years ago, children were not at the center of society. Far from it, actually. They were on the edges with other vulnerable people of the day, not seen as the hope of the future, and certainly not priorities for families or religious institutions or leaders. Children were powerless, voiceless, choiceless, and they were at the mercy of people much bigger and stronger than they were, literally and figuratively. They were small in every sense of the word. So imagine Jesus picking up one such child and telling his disciples to not only welcome her and others like her, but to put her first before them and serve her. It's more than unexpected, it's shocking. This is not just Jesus doing a promotion for children's ministry. This is Jesus turning all of his attention, the attention of his entire ministry and kingdom, to a whole segment of society that never got any attention. And for the disciples who had just spent the trip arguing about who was the favorite, it's a reality check. Jesus is concerned about the small ones, not the small stuff. I know they weren't threatening to kick a copier or talking back to a Wawa employee, but the disciples are so much like us. Perhaps having heard Jesus talking about his death, the disciples are feeling a bit out of control and terrified. Maybe they have developed some tunnel vision, focused intently on being the best, on doing this disciple thing perfectly, hoping for status and clout, or maybe hoping that it would make all of this easier for Jesus. They are on the road to Jerusalem, quite literally stepping directly into times heavy with grief, with unknown, with confusion, with suffering. And maybe, like us, they are bracing themselves for what comes next. And in that moment, it's just easier to zero in on something smaller. But when they begin to get caught up in all that does not matter, Jesus reminds them of what really does. When they are beginning to obsess about the small stuff like status and greatness, Jesus lifts up the smallest among them. He offers them the greatest commandment, shares with them perspective and presence, and sends them forth with a renewed sense of calling to the least and the littlest. There will always be weeks that are quite a week. There will be seasons of grief and pain and loss and coming to the very last thread at the end of our rope. Think back to some of the most trying times in your life, situations you barely got through, seasons that nearly did you in, events you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy. Now think about what mattered most during those times. Was it family, friendships, faith? Was it turning your loss into life for someone else? Transforming your grief into grace towards one another? It seems like the most difficult things, the most trying times in our lives, have the power to show us, to teach us, to reveal to us what matters most. It is true for the disciples today, it was certainly true for Jesus, and it is true for us as well. Will we allow Christ in those moments to steer us away from sweating the small stuff and focus our hearts on seeing the smallest ones among us? Will we channel our grief, our fear, our weariness into loving one another and showing compassion to those who rarely receive it? Will we pause and ask for God's perspective to widen our view and our circle to include everyone on the edge? Will we open our eyes and our hearts enough to concern ourselves less with who is in the front seat and more with who journeys beside us day in and day out? Concern ourselves with who is squished in the back and who is left by the side of the road? Tough questions, big questions, I challenge you to ponder in the days ahead as we seek to discern with Christ's help what matters. Amen.
As we prepare to enter into our prayer time this morning, let me share with you joys and concerns we have become aware of during the week and have been written in our book. Some birthdays have been celebrated this past week. Kim Sands celebrated her birthday. Lisa Delp, our church administrator, celebrated her birthday yesterday, and Chris Bodie celebrates her birthday today. And a very happy anniversary to Mark and Grace Bruin. They celebrated their 38th wedding anniversary this past week. Maybe it's coming up. Celebrating one way or another. Okay. And concerns. We continue to keep in our prayers the Cassander family and the Waliza family. Tom Waliza's service was yesterday at the Huff and Lakeer Funeral Home. Ted's service was here at the church, and the additional flowers that are on the communion table are from Ted's service. We also keep in our prayers Debbie and Mike George Reichley and their family. Debbie is the daughter of Gail and Bob George. If you were reading the local newspaper this last week on Thursday, you saw there was a house fire that involved displacing a family of eight. That was Debbie and Mike and their six children. They are now currently with family, but they have lost everything. Their home is not habitable, and so we know that in the days ahead, it's going to be a real challenge for them. So please keep this family in your prayers. Thankfully, everyone is safe. And I heard yesterday from Steve Bossert, who is eager to let you know that he really misses not being able to be at the picnic today. Many of you know that he has been at Lehigh Valley Hospital recuperating after important and serious surgery. He'll be coming home next week, or this week, I should say, on Wednesday. But Steve is someone who over the years has loved to be the barbecuer cooker at the picnic. And so he sends his greetings. He misses seeing all of you, but looks forward to being on board for the next time around. So we'll keep Steve in our prayers. No doubt each one of you brings with you today your own particular joys and concerns. Let us lift them up to God now, confident that God hears our prayers. Let us pray. Merciful God, it is a serious thing and somewhat daunting just to be alive on this fresh morning in this broken world. As we embrace this day with all that it holds and the week that lies before us, we look to you for wisdom and grace, for courage and strength, for compassion, kindness, insight, understanding, patience, and perseverance, that we might serve you well and make a difference in the lives of the little ones you have called us to love. Oh God, our hearts ache when we listen to the world news, national news, our local news, and as we continue to grieve with those close to home who have experienced loss in recent days. We pray for the thousands of Afghan refugees trying to find their way as they start new lives far from the place of their birth. We pray for those whose lives have been uprooted by fires and natural disasters, for those battling for their lives in hospital ERs and ICUs, and for the frontline workers who keep on keeping on day in and day out, giving their all to care for them. We continue to pray for Jack and Ben as they grieve their dad's passing, for Tom's family as they too grieve, and for Debbie, Mike, and their six children as they grieve in the aftermath of losing their home and begin the hard work of starting over again. We give thanks for the good progress Steve has made following his recent surgery and pray for continued healing and renewed strength as he prepares to return home. We also give thanks for the wonderful support team of volunteers who will be there for him to help him on his journey toward recovery. Loving God, we pray for our children, our youth, and our young adults who have returned to in-person learning this fall, along with their teachers, coaches, professors. Keep them safe, O God, and fill each one of us with both the desire and the resolve to do our part to protect the most vulnerable among us as we continue to navigate together amid this pandemic. O God, your Son Jesus used a little child to teach an important lesson about who is the greatest, making it clear that if we want to be truly great, we must be willing to go to the back of the line. We must be willing to humbly serve others. If we do not have time for the little ones in our midst, we will never be great, nor will we experience the welcome of the one we say we believe in. So God, help us to be faithful servants, following in your footsteps and the footsteps of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
As we move into our time of offering, I will remind you, as always, that we give and we share as a way of showing we care, as a way of showing our thankfulness and our gratefulness for the ability to share what we have to support our church, our community, and our world. Bearing this in mind, I invite you to join as we sing our doxology and receive this morning's offering. God, giver and gift, we present our offerings to you this day, knowing that these gifts are not small because they contain so much. Our gratefulness for all that we have been given, our care and devotion to our church and our world, our hope that what we offer up will be blessed and transformed to meet the needs of many. May this act of giving be a testament to our caring hearts and caring hands. And may we possess the faith and the integrity and the wisdom to be good stewards of them in all that we do. Amen.
Thank you.
On your way out of the sanctuary, don't forget to grab your Remember, Seek, and Grow seed packet. Mary Billy has a basket in the back, and Abby Lamp has a basket on the side, so make sure you grab one. Hopefully you are on your way headed to Plains Mennonite Park to join us for our picnic. All, of course, are welcome. And then, and to go downstairs for baskets if you would like to do that before you head over to Plains Mennonite Park. And then, as you go out into the world to face whatever it is that this day and this week holds, I pray that you know and feel that as you go, God's love surrounds you, Christ's peace sustains you, and the power of God's Holy Spirit goes with you this day and every day. Amen.